Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of College Hockey Talk. On today's episode of the podcast, I welcome incoming junior on the Adrian Women's Hockey Team, Zoe Lowry. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today, Zoe, and how's everything going?
Thanks for having me. Just excited to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have you on, and obviously you guys are in the middle of your offseason, so what has your offseason been like so far? Do you have any plans this summer, whether it's hockey-related or not?
Yeah, so our school ends end of April, so I went back to Wisconsin in May, which was super nice, didn't have to work, but every summer, for as long as I can remember, I've been coming to Culver, where I went to high school, and I coach hockey here and train here, so that's been super nice, teach skating classes, and it's kids from all over the world, so it's really cool to see them, like, see the ice for the first time and teach them how to skate, like, just the basics. Other than that, like, we skate every day. There's a good group of girls that skates here. They're going on to play college hockey. All went to Culver. And Culver's on a lake, so I can't really complain much. So it's nice to be here.
Are you more of a lake person than a beach person, I assume?
Absolutely. I love, like, the small town lake vibe. Like,
yeah.
I'm very into that.
It's a very Midwestern answer, because I'm from the East Coast. I'm definitely more of a beach person, so...
Yeah, I'm starting to get used to the East Coast and starting to like it, but it's a little overwhelming for me. I like the, like, chill.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. And listen, I know some places in the East Coast were very intense people, especially the driving, as you probably have come to learn. But I will say, like, I think we're more hard love people than maybe people in the Midwest are sort of, like, you could see it more. But I think if you, like, get deep down, you see that we really care about each other here in the East Coast.
All right, I'm going to try. I'll try to make an effort.
Well, in regards to your training, what have you been working on the most preparing for the upcoming season?
Yeah, I mean, I think something that's kind of all-encompassing is just overall strength off the ice. That translates to so many things in the game, corner battles, shot, whatever. You know, even just I'm doing a lot of plyos, so, like, just increasing my speed. So that's been... just a lot of it. A lot of the work has been off the ice, but it's always fun to get on the ice.
Now, I sort of want to start off this podcast like I always do, sort of talking about the beginning of your career and working all the way up to where you are now. So the research I did on yourself, it says that you're from Verona, Wisconsin. So talk about growing up there and how did you start playing hockey?
Yeah, so it's sort of interesting. My dad was a semi-pro and college coach. So growing up, I was surrounded by hockey. I think it was kind of just a no-brainer. I was going to play hockey. I have an older brother and an older sister. My older sister does not play hockey, but my older brother does. He just played at Ohio State. So growing up, I would just watch him. And whatever Mason was doing, I was doing. Whether it was playing outside or even just going to the rink, I wanted to do that. So played with the boys growing up. I was born in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, because my dad was coaching there. And then we ended up moving to Pennsylvania. And then I landed in Wisconsin when I was about 7. So that's sort of home base. It's been a great place. I grew up playing for the Capitals. I played for a local high school team there. Lots of fun. Then I decided to go to Culver.
Is there any hockey in Louisiana, if you can remember back at that time?
I have no idea, honestly. I was so young, but my dad coached a minor pro team there, so I guess there is.
At least there was. I don't remember any hockey in Louisiana. That's probably, like, the most desolate area for it. But I know they have 100%. A team in South Carolina and some teams in Florida now. So I kind of want to see hockey grow more in the South. I think that would be a lot of fun to get some college
hockey
teams.
Absolutely. Get some Southern people to be hockey fans. I feel like it'd be great.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Who was your favorite player growing up? Who was, like, a team that you like to watch or players that you admired?
When I was growing up, obviously, like, Sidney Crosby, but I loved watching Steven Stamkos. I just think his IQ is off the charts, and, I mean, his shot is insane. And it's funny, when I came to Adrian, the only number that was available was 91. So I feel like I was, whatever, I'm in, Steven Stamkos. So.
That's awesome, yeah. I remember Steven Stamkos was my first non-Bruins jersey that I ever got. And I think that's why I always liked him a lot, because I remember getting that for my birthday when I was 9 years old. So I think those Lightning jerseys are pretty sick, though.
That is awesome. Yeah, their jerseys are sick. And I mean, I kind of hopped on the bandwagon for a bit with the Lightning, but now I'm a Bruins fan now. So.
Oh, awesome! I'm a big Bruins fan as well. So, it's a fun fan base to be a part of. We're definitely intense, but thank you so much for coming on.
It is very intense. My brother he signed with them, so we're sort of translating. It's been hard for my dad, but now he's trying to be a Bruins fan.
Yeah, no, I was, I don't want to get off topic, but I was at development camp last week, and I thought he was one of the best players on the ice, and I feel like he definitely has a chance to make the NHL club this year, so hopefully.
Oh, well, I'll have to let him know your thoughts.
I know I'm just a random fan, but I just wanted to let you know that, so.
No, you're important to us.
Awesome. Well, what's it sort of like growing up in a hockey family? Like, I know you said your older sister didn't play, but, like, obviously having a brother, father, I don't know if your mom played at all, but what's it sort of like being in a hockey family? How do you guys sort of make each other better?
Yeah, I mean, just growing up, like, it's total hockey family. My sister worked at the concession stand at the rink. Like, she was there all the time. My mom, one of the most athletic people ever. Like, she is so competitive. She has just started playing pickleball, and, like, it's very competitive for her. And then my dad, obviously, with hockey. It's been great. I think that my family pushes me in all aspects, and not even hockey, but, like, learning about the game from them has taught me so many things about life that I just, like, I've translated so many things from the game to life that are so valuable, and I attribute all of that to my family. They've helped me so much.
I heard pickleball is the fastest growing sport in the U.S.
It must be, because everyone I've been talking to, they're like, oh, I'm going to play pickleball, and I need to get into it.
I even know how it looks, or, like, I've never done it before, but it seems a lot of fun. I heard, though, like, so many people are getting injured doing it just because you work, like, sort of your muscles, and I remember hearing someone saying they went to the chiropractor, and they said their business has been booming because so many people, like, my dad, keep, like, hurting themselves playing pickleball.
That is funny. That's awesome. I mean, maybe pickleball will be, I don't even know, something super popular soon. I don't know.
I hope so. But just be careful if you play it. Don't injure yourself and, like,
I know.
For other stuff, too. So I know it's intense, but you got to, like, rein it back a little bit sometimes. But before you went to Culver, you played with a few teams. You started off your youth career playing for the Madison Metro Lynx, and then you also played for the Madison Capitals. So just talk about your experiences there with both those teams before heading off to Culver.
Yeah. So obviously in Madison, I didn't really know who I wanted to play for. The Capitals are kind of the big team in town. But I ended up my freshman year of high school playing for the Metro Lynx, and it's just the local high school co-op. So girls from all different high schools. And I ended up being the only freshman on the varsity team, and I had just a blast. Like, the girls, obviously, super big age difference at that point because everyone's developing when you're in high school. But those girls were awesome. We had a blast, and I learned a lot. But I knew I wanted to take the next steps. So the next season, I decided to play for the Capitals. Honestly, I had great coaches, great time with the girls. But my parents really wanted me to attend Culver. And so that kind of just led me to Culver.
Yeah, and how'd you get the opportunity to play with Culver, and how's that process work?
Yeah, so my dad for 32 years he ran the rink here in the summers. So I would, as long as I can remember, I've come here. And I knew that I wanted to go to winter school at some point, but Mason was here, my brother, and I saw how it worked, and I was, like, so scared of it. I was scared to leave home, everything, so I ended up my junior year of high school. I repeated my junior year. So there's a coach called, his name is Brian Adolski, and he is the St. Cloud coach, women's. And he was actually coaching here. He coached here for a year, and he had gotten to know me, and he was the reason I came. He ended up leaving before I came, but I ended up with great coaching staff. I loved Culver to death.
Now, during your time, I guess, with Culver, what would you say was the best memory you have with that program?
Oh, wow. My junior year, so my first year, it was hard to get people to come to our games. But I remember our last home game, I had just like a little squad on my team. There was four of us. We did everything together. And so we packed the rink and we were all out on the ice and we ended up winning in overtime. And it was the best time ever. We still talk about it to this day.
Did you score the OT winner or was it one of your friends?
It was one of my friends.
Did you get the assist on it though? One of the secondary assists?
Maybe I did. You know what? Let's say I did.
That's good. Well, one of the things that sort of caught my eye during your time with Culver, you had to deal with some challenges due to the pandemic because it happened that season, or at least right in the towards the end of your high school career. So my question is, how did you sort of handle that challenge of playing through a pandemic and sort of trying to get better with so many restrictions and sort of a lot of times where you just didn't know when you would be on the ice just because all that stuff was restricted? And how do you think it sort of made you a better player throughout your development during that time of a lot of uncertainty?
Yeah, I mean, I think when we got sent home my junior year, it was just, you know, everyone, the whole world was like, what's going on? So definitely finding different ways to strength train when you can't go to the gym. And I was super fortunate. I could go to the rink and the ice wasn't in, but I could work out, shoot pucks. So that was a nice escape from everything that was going on. But when we went back to Culver for my senior year, it was a total different place. But I will say Culver did it right. We were being tested twice a week to make sure. We got to go to in-person classes. We got to travel still, skate every day. But something that I found super valuable through the process was being a leader throughout that. I was fortunate. I got to be a leader on my team that year. And we really had to band together. There was nothing, you know, I learned to rely on people. There was nothing you could really do alone because we were sort of all figuring it out together. So I think that I really developed leadership skills through that, but also just knowing that you have to rely on one another, and I think it brought our team so close.
Now, how did your time at Culver help prepare you for college hockey?
Well, there's a rink on campus, weights everywhere, you can't complain, and then our coaches were so dedicated. To be a prep school and be watching film all the time, and, you know, they treated it like a college hockey team. And that's just, it prepared me. When I went to school, I was like, wow, this is just about the same thing. And like the academics at Culver had prepared me so well. And I think anyone that has graduated from Culver would say the same.
So you initially committed and played for RIT. Talk about your recruiting process there and why did you choose to go there initially?
Yeah, so obviously we just talked about COVID. So my visit to RIT was actually 3 days before we got sent home for COVID. So I remember flying to RIT, checking it out, coming back. And I fell in love with the campus. Their facilities are off the charts. Have you been there?
I have not, no. It's a bit far away in New York, though. But I've seen the team come to Holy Cross one time, so.
Okay, yeah. So their rink is unreal. Weight room's great. And at the time, the coach there, I really liked him. So things were good. I was excited. So I felt like RIT with their academics and just how much I liked the campus, I was ready to go there. So I ended up committing after I visited.
And you only played 20 games with RIT, and then you left in the middle of the season. So talk about your time there and what you take away from those 20 games that you played.
Yeah, so well, I actually have an Instagram post about this. It's pretty deep down, but I went to RIT. There was a coaching change and a lot of changes with the team. So I, you know, went in. I was ready to go. And when I decided to leave, it was halfway through the year and we were 0-20. Like, we had not won a single game. And I was getting, you know, 3 shifts a game. And it's really hard to get into stuff like that. And ultimately, to put it lightly, I was not fond of the coaching staff. I liked their ideas, but just, I don't know, didn't really mesh well. Loved the girls, had such a great time with the girls. I still talk to them, still my best friends to this day. But just not the place for me.
Yeah. And that's sort of what my next question was going to be, like, why did you decide to leave RIT? How do you sort of transfer in the middle of the year? And I guess what made Adrian the school that for you to want to go to?
Yeah. So one of my best friends from junior year at Culver, she was a senior when I was a junior, she ended up going to Adrian. And throughout the process of me not really loving RIT, I would call her, we would talk, and she would tell me about her team and her coach and how much her coach interacts with the players and just how he is. So my coach now, Sean Skelly, is like off the charts. He's awesome. Can't say like great or too many great things about him, go to his head. But I think leaving RIT was a really hard decision for me just because I knew I was going to have to make the jump from D1 to D3. And RIT is a lower level D1, so I was totally okay with it. And I think what people get stuck up on a lot is the image. But like, oh, she plays D1 hockey versus, oh, she plays D3 hockey. And I think that was hard for me to learn, and that was a maturing process for me. And then deciding to go to Adrian was pretty easy. I visited. I wanted to be closer to Wisconsin, so can't complain about that. And I fell in love with the place. It's a small school. Love, you know, we talked about it. I love the Midwest and, like, small town vibes. So, yeah, and then I just decided to go to Adrian.
Yeah, I don't know why people have this sort of stigma with Division III hockey, because I feel like people don't realize it's just as hard to make it to Division III as it is to make it to Division I. Like, I think it's 1% of players make it to Division I, and then I think it's like 3 or 4% of players make it to Division III. Like, if you look at most junior teams, like, half the team is committed, and maybe one or two players are Division I commits, and then the rest of those commits are Division III. So it's really hard. It's really good hockey. So I always try to get rid of that stigma with Division III, because it's still very good, and sometimes Division III will be a better fit for some people than Division I. Like, for yourself, like, I don't think it's worth playing 3 shifts a game. Especially when you're not having a good time in college. Like, you should go somewhere where you're having fun. And that's sort of my whole opinion has been on it. So hopefully if this in any way can sort of get rid of that stigma, I hope this helps out a little bit with that.
Yeah, well, thank you. And people like you with your thoughts on that, like, we need more of you.
Well, what was sort of the biggest adjustment you had to make to college hockey?
Honestly, bigger, stronger, faster. It sounds so basic, but it's so true. You're in the corners, and these girls are strong, like, not, you know, and you're on the back check, and you're like, oh, they're all passing me. Like, you know, you just need to really commit to off-ice training, I think, especially before you go into freshman year. And then also, you're just in a new environment, I think, especially a lot of my friends, a lot of the freshmen on my team, like, it's been an adjustment just because you're in a totally different place. You're training every day. A lot of people don't have that luxury. So, yeah, just bigger, stronger, faster, more training.
Now, in your freshman year, your team made it all the way to the semifinals of the Slats Cup playoffs. What did you learn during your first playoff experience that you think helped you for your sophomore year?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, the second half of my freshman year was sort of a blur. I got thrown on this team, but towards the end, I really started to love it, and I think throughout playoffs, and I've realized this, you know, this past year as well, you have to be selfless. It's not the time to care about anything. It's not the time to care about minutes, points, whatever. It's what you can do for the team, and I think it's just, you have to band together, so I learned that.
What would you say was, like, the biggest improvement you made from your freshman year to your sophomore year? Because looking at the statistics, like, you had a huge point jump, and it just seemed like you had a much better season offensively and defensively. So what would you say was, like, the biggest improvement that sort of led to that jump between both those seasons?
Yeah, honestly, and it sounds kind of silly to say, but overall confidence. I think confidence is so underrated in college hockey. Especially on the women's side, just because if you have confidence, you're going to play way better. And I attribute all of that to my coaches. I think I remember sitting down with my coach Skelly before I left from freshman year, and he was like, if you get stronger, you're going to be more confident. So that's when I started to really sort of hit the weights. But yeah, definitely confidence.
How do you sort of work on that? Because I feel like confidence, it's so hard to lose it. Like, one play can lose your entire confidence. And then it can take a few games for it to sort of come back. So how do you sort of work on that part of your game? Because I feel like you said, when you play with confidence, you're a much better player. Just because you have that sort of edge, I feel like. I'm just curious how you sort of work on that.
Yeah, and that was kind of my question when I left freshman year. But I sort of figured it out on my own. It's important to read a lot of books on, like, mental toughness. I think that that's what a lot of us lack in women's hockey is mental toughness. And if you are mentally tough, you can sort of shake that off. Like, okay, I had a bad shift. Like, stay confident. Like, you'll be good to go. So I read books. I really like David Goggins, if you know who he is.
Oh yeah, 4 a.m. like runs. I don't know if I could do that all stuff, but I feel like this a motivation for sure.
Yeah, so he, you know, I always revert back to different books and stuff I've read and things he's said, so that really helps the confidence.
I have a Kobe Bryant's Mamba Mentality book. I feel like that's probably my favorite, like, mental toughness book, just because I think he has a lot of good life lessons in that, and I think that's sort of what made him a great basketball player.
Yeah, I'll have to read that. I haven't read that.
It's pretty good. My favorite story was when they were on the road in, like, Chicago somewhere, and, like, all the guys wanted, like, party and stuff since they were on the road, and Kobe was just like, all right, if you guys want to do that, then you got to do it my way as well. So after they were all out partying, like, at 4:30 in the morning, he, like, knocks on their door and makes them go to the gym and, like, work out, and they're like, it's like, we're not doing this again. He's like, we can't compromise what we're here to do, which is to win and be better basketball players. So I thought that was an incredible story, but I think it's just crazy. Like, someone is actually being serious, like, knocks on their door at 4:30.
Yeah, that is insane. Okay, I'm definitely going to have to read that. I'll order that.
Well, Adrian was one of the top teams in the country last season. How did you guys sort of maintain that consistency throughout the regular season? And then as you guys were getting better throughout the season, obviously the pressure is going to rise. So how did you guys sort of handle that pressure of being one of those top-ranked teams with the target of your team's back?
Yeah, I mean, I say it all the time. Everyone wants to beat Adrian. It's the standard that we've set. And the reason is because our coaching staff puts so much effort into it, and they do it right. They know how to band a group of girls together. They know how to push all of us to our limit. And just like the standard that they set every single day, like we come to practice and we know what we have to do. And we have a lot of fun on the way. Like, I'm making it kind of sound like, oh, it's so much work. But, like, we enjoy that work, and we fell in love with the grind. So we love being a team that people want to play. So.
Now, you guys won the NCHA tournament last season. What was it like winning that championship for the team, but also for yourself? Because you've been through a lot just to get to Adrian, and it sort of must have been sort of a nice, like, sort of like, oh, like, I did all the right things to sort of get to where I am today.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like, we had faced a little bit of adversity prior to the tournament, you know, we lost a couple games. Our team had a very good year this year, but it's important to, like, also know how to lose and learn from that. So in that process, I think it was so special for our team. And we won Slats Cup at home, which is always the best feeling. Don't have to travel. And for me personally, it was sort of a relief in a way, because we knew how good we were, and we knew we were going to win, but it was just a matter of, like, we need to capitalize on our opportunities and hone into the details and really do it. And for me personally, it was great. Like, my parents both came, and, you know, it's awesome. You get to hold the trophy, take a picture with your parents. So can't really beat those feelings.
Do you get a ring for it, or you don't?
No, so we personally don't. There was another team that won the year before. Yeah,
aren't they expensive,
did.
I assume?
Oh, I would assume so, but yeah, we want a ring when we win the whole thing, so.
All right, that makes sense. I would just say, like, you know, like, I would want to have it just for bragging rights in the house, just to show it off once in a while.
Yeah, exactly.
You played in the tournament as well against Hamilton, and you guys lost that game 2-0. What did you learn from your first tournament game against a good Hamilton team?
I know, I still have nightmares about that, but I actually just worked a USA Hockey camp with one of my closest friends, she plays on Hamilton, so I have been hearing about this for a while. But I think in the game, it's so important to hone in on every little detail. And our coaches stress that to us, and I think that we sort of underestimated that. Like, capitalize on every opportunity to score. Like, put it in the back of the net. Get the puck out on the wall. Like, there's just so many simple things. And I think that our team, we played well, but it's just like we were close, but not close enough, you know?
Yeah, obviously. And how do you think you're still going to use that game up for next season, you think? So when you're in those situations, like, you know, like, what it takes to sort of, like, get on top.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to haunt us for a while, but just realizing the little details are so important, like, just honing in on that stuff in practice. And that's all of our, like, our coaches, our leaders. It's important that we hold the standard. And so we're excited to do that and excited to see where our season takes us.
Well, what are your team's goals and expectations for next season? Obviously, it's to win a national championship, but anything else on your team's radar that you want to accomplish that fans might not be aware of?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously we always want to win it all, but focusing especially this year on the process of that is going to be so important. But we're going to hold our standard. We're going to keep our standard. Adrian, we're going to be one of the best teams in the country. We plan on being one of them, if not the best. And we're going to have a young team this year. I think we're getting a lot of new girls in. We lost a lot of veterans, so it's going to be important that we just hold the standard and show them the ropes when they get in, and we'll be hit the ground running.
Have you met any of the new players yet?
We've texted and things just via social media. I haven't met any of them in person, but I will be in about a month, so I'm excited.
And obviously you're going to be an upperclassman now. Pretty crazy to believe how time flies by. What type of leadership are you going to try to bring that to the team? Like you said, having a younger team, being one of the older players, how do you sort of, like, are you more of a vocal leader, lead by example type of player? I'm just curious how your sort of leadership will be like for next year. How do you sort of want to help those young freshmen out?
Yeah, so what I have learned in college is how important leadership is on a team. So I think for me, I kind of, like, sway the line of, like, oh, I'm very vocal, or, like, I'm just going to lead by example. And I think that all goes into, like, who on our team is a leader, you know, and what sort of leadership do we need to fill. So we have two great captains this year wearing the C's, and one of them pretty vocal. The other one, like, leads by example, like, no one's business. And I think that they have a great, like, little system going. So I just want to be there for the girls, you know, make connections with them and know that they should know that I care. But also they should know that I want to push them, and, you know, our other leaders are going to push me. So it's exciting.
So we're now in everyone's favorite segment, the non-hockey segment, where I ask you some non-hockey questions just to get to know you a little bit more off the ice. First one is, what music do you like to listen to?
I am always playing country music. There is nothing else playing. I don't know. My friends get annoyed, but it's always country. So
I never really listened to any country music, not because I didn't like it, just because I just never really heard it. But I feel like it's starting to become more mainstream, and I've started to listen to it more.
Yeah, it is. Do you, like, have a favorite country artist?
A big Thomas Rhett and Morgan Wallen guy. I know that's a bit very casual answer, but those guys make some really good songs, and I like Tennessee Fan by Morgan Wallen. That's one of my favorite country songs, just because he's a big sports guy, and I think he does a good job mixing in sports with music, which I like a lot.
I agree with you.
Who's your favorite country artist?
Oh boy, I love Zach Bryan for when I'm just, like, chill, but definitely Morgan Wallen, can't complain. Luke Combs, like, honestly, if I could say everyone, I would say everyone, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I definitely like country. I would say I'm also into, like, other genres of music as well, like hip-hop, rock, pop, like, whatever mood I'm in, I sort of just go to that. So that's sort of what my vibe is always like.
I like that, though. Variety. I wish I was like that. I can't do it.
I don't know how people can listen to one specific genre of music. I feel like it gets boring after a while.
I'm like, it never gets boring.
Well, good for you, because I need to switch it up sometimes, so definitely with you on that. But I feel like are there other people on the team that, like, are into other music? So how do you sort of, like, handle that in the locker room?
I mean, it's always a battle. I'm like, let's go, ladies, play country. But, you know, I can dance, whatever, get some energy to anything. But definitely, I'm starting to get a lot of the girls on the country train. So
that's
it's been good.
That's good. Which teammate would you say is the would you not want to play the Ox in the locker room?
Oh, boy. Definitely Carmen Anderson. She was the only one to cover with me. This girl will listen to the same song on repeat like 20 times in a row. She wants everyone else to hear it. So definitely Carmen.
What is your most embarrassing hockey moment?
Oh, God. So my freshman year, actually before we played in playoffs, we had a pregame skate. We were going to play Aurora, one of our rivals. And Skelly, my coach, came up to me, and he had asked me if I was ready to go. I was like, oh, yeah. And I picked up the puck, and I was like, oh, I'm going to do the Michigan tonight, like, as a joke. Because, I would love to, but I'm not going to whip that out in the game. He was standing there. Obviously, he doesn't wear a helmet, and I did the Michigan. Puck went straight to his head. And so he had a big lump. So I had to go buy him some Tim Hortons to make him feel better. But that was definitely really embarrassing. All the like vets were dying laughing. I was crying. I felt so bad.
Yeah.
So, I mean, still to this day, I cringe thinking about it.
Well, hopefully he doesn't like hold any grudges with that. I feel like at some point, I feel like I would move on from that. But I'll definitely sort of like make you feel bad for it. Like,
he loves to joke about it, but yeah, he's gotten over it. He got over it pretty quickly.
Now, I do have to ask this since you mentioned it, Tim Hortons or Dunkin' Donuts?
Ooh, Tim Hortons all the way. I love it.
Well, if you're going to be in Boston, you got to get used to Dunkin' because they're all around. I feel like there's no Tim Hortons here, so.
I know there's none. It's the worst. I'm like, I can't go to Dunkin'.
Oh, you got, it's the best. What are you talking about?
You know what? I like their coffee, but sometimes it tastes just like, it's so on and off. And then Tim Hortons is just always on. So I'm like, it's Tim Hortons.
I will say, like, yesterday I was wearing a Pat's sweatshirt, like, carrying my Dunkin'. I looked like the most Boston person of all time. So I definitely gotta tone that down maybe a little bit.
That's awesome. So East Coast.
I know. I would say my most embarrassing hockey moment was during squirts. Someone, the goalie, forgot to close the door for the bench, and we're doing backward skating drills, and I fell inside the bench, which was tough, but luckily there's no footage of that, so it's sort of...
Oh, we need the footage.
I don't think it was like 2014, so who knows if there was even cameras. But yeah, that was definitely a tough moment for me. Who has the best style on the Adrian Blumen's hockey team besides yourself? I feel like you probably have the best style, but who would you say outside yourself?
Thank you. I take pride in that, but there'd be a couple girls that disagree. I mean, so I read this question. I did have to think about this. So, I have two answers on the ice. My line mate, Callie Wolschlager, great shot, like, so sick, looks great. And then off the ice, my friend Tia LaSalle, she was a freshman last year, and she just always shows up to the games, and everyone is like, wow, you look great, so.
I know you know this, but College Hockey Talk does best outfits of the week. I don't know. I haven't seen Adrian post that stuff, but I'd like to see you get featured on that at one point this season.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? I'll talk to our media girl.
Because the top 10 list for best off-the-ice style for both men's and women's, I think, would say is probably one of the most competitive lists to make it on. If I know it might be biased, but I feel like it might be up there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, I definitely need to get in on that then.
I don't know. I don't know if Mason made it on it once. I feel like he might have. I know some Ohio State. I think he might have honestly gotten
maybe
it.
Maybe he did with the sunglasses.
So, I feel like you got to beat him on that.
Oh, I will.
What is the most interesting thing you've read or seen this week?
Yeah, so my boss at work, he's a coach at Culver, and he gave me just like the first chapter of a book, and I'm going to order the book, but it's called Legacy by James Kerr. And it's about this rugby team called the All Blacks, so like a famous rugby team. And it talks all about culture. And literally, I've already learned like it talks about a lot in the first 20 pages, like, you're never too important to do the little things that have to be done. So I think it's important, especially as an upperclassman, to remember that.
Honestly, I haven't really seen too many interesting things that have caught my eye. The news has been sort of depressing lately. I would say probably, probably like NHL free agency. I thought that was
That stuff is crazy.
Yeah, that's fun. I think that's probably the hardest part about being a pro player is you just never know what's going to happen with all that stuff. And it's a lot of it's out of your control, so. But
yeah, and it's such a business. Like, I wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I do, as a fan, though, I do find it interesting. I would say probably, like, I don't know, probably that stuff. I think DeBrincat getting traded to the Red Wings and then him signing was probably the most interesting move to me because I think Detroit's trying to go for it but also sort of get their young players involved. So I think that's sort of been the most interesting part. And then seeing some of the cap-related moves that haven't been made with Tampa trading Pat Maroon to the Wild and all that stuff. And just I find that, like, whole, like, GM stuff very interesting, like how the cap works and, like, how they sort of have to finance and all that. I think it's pretty interesting to me.
See, you find that stuff interesting. I honestly find it so confusing. I would love to understand it, but I'm like, oh, like, cap? Like, you know, like, I just...
Yeah.
But it is really cool, but it's got to be very stressful for everyone involved.
Oh, yeah. I do think it's pretty cool. Like, I would love to have, like, Kyle Dubas on the pod, and just, I could talk, like, an hour about the cap and all that, how salaries work, and it would be the most boring podcast for some people, but I would find it very fascinating.
I feel like, no, a lot of people would find that interesting. We got to make that happen then.
I don't know. I think Don Sweeney played for Harvard, so maybe if he's listening, he can come on the pod at some point. So, if you could have lunch with anyone in the world, who would it be and why?
I mentioned him before, David Goggins, I think. He is so fascinating. And just sitting down, I think it would be such a motivating lunch. I mean, I'd probably get a salad or something, but I would be, like, just so entranced, like, it would be very cool. How about you?
Tom Brady, for sure. Just sort of how he, like, wasn't the most highly touted, like, player heading into the NFL, and he sort of took his opportunity and became one of the best football players of all time. Like, I just think that's awesome, and it's just sort of inspiring for me because I think it just shows, like, it doesn't matter. Like, you don't have to be, like, considered that. I don't know how to describe it. Sort of, like, it doesn't matter where you're picked or, like, sort of matter where, like, if someone gives you an opportunity, you sort of just have to take it and make the most out of it, and I just find it super inspiring. So for anyone listening, like, if you, like, people don't believe in you, just got to prove them wrong. And that's sort of what Tom Brady did. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. He is very interesting.
Yeah, I would say maybe, like, football Tom's interesting. I don't know what he's doing off the field now, but.
Just his stories interesting.
But if you could have last non-hockey question is, if there was a movie made about your life, who would you want to play yourself and why?
Oh, wow. A movie about myself. Like, okay, honestly, I think Blake Lively is the coolest person ever. Like, just the way that she acts and stuff. So, her or Jennifer Aniston, they could both play me.
I would say it would be pretty awesome if Ryan Reynolds could play me in a movie. I know we're nothing alike, but I would totally brag to people that he played me in a movie. I would say... maybe I would say Tom Cruise. I think he is a good. I like all of his movies that he does, so I'll probably go with him.
Yeah, those are good ones.
I guess we have one more non-hockey question that I just thought was interesting. What's the most underrated holiday and what's the most overrated holiday in your opinion?
Most underrated, Thanksgiving. I think Thanksgiving is the best day of the year. I don't know. Just you get to get together with your family and eat food. Like, there's nothing better than that to me. Overrated Halloween. I think Halloween is just, like, people spend too much money on costumes, and it's really, it doesn't matter that much. But, I mean, it's fun, don't get me wrong, but it's totally overrated.
Oh, yeah, I get you with that. I would say, with Halloween at least, I like trick-or-treating. That was, like, the best part about it, and now you can't do that anymore as an adult. So that's probably, like, that's why I don't think Halloween is as fun. I think it's mostly for kids than adults. I think adults try to make it as fun as it is. It's like, you want an excuse to dress up and just go to a party, which makes sense. I would say the most overrated for me is New Year's Day or Eve. I'd say New Year's Eve, just because you're just waiting for a clock to turn midnight, and then it's like, yay, and then that's it. There's really nothing to it. And then the most underrated, I would say, is, like, 4th of July, maybe. I think that's a fun one. Or Christmas Eve, one of those, like, I feel like those are pretty underrated.
Yeah, okay, 4th of July. Those are really good answers, actually. I agree with the New Year's thing, and 4th of July is great, too. So that's up there, too, with Thanksgiving.
This past year, 4th of July, kind of sucked, though. The weather was awful. I don't know what it was like in Wisconsin, but it's been raining so much here, so it wasn't as fun as it normally is. But when it's sunny out, it's usually a fun holiday.
Yeah, we were here at Culver at the lake, so it was nice, but it would rain for a little bit. So my friends and I would watch the weather, and then we would go on the lake, and then we would get off the lake, and then it would rain again. So it was kind of just a little game, but it's tons of fun.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, getting back to some hockey questions now, if what advice sort of would you give younger players on what it takes to be a college hockey player? I know what you said, sort of doing what you think is right, so I'm curious to hear from your experience, what advice would you give sort of younger players on advice on what it takes to be a college hockey player and like sort of just advice in general on being a hockey and being a student athlete as well?
Yeah, I think something super undervalued or, I mean, underrated maybe is being in love with the game. I know it sounds so basic, but I think if you're doing it for the right reasons, because you love the sport, it's never going to stray you wrong. If you work hard, embrace the grind, and love the game. I always say it, like, the only things you can control is your effort and your attitude. So just focusing on your effort and your attitude, things will work out for you.
What should be done to help grow women's hockey from your perspective?
You know, I think the, like, women's hockey in general needs to grow. And actually, last week when I was working this USA Hockey camp, it was so sad. It was just a multi-district camp, but a bunch of 11, 12, 13-year-old girls. And we sat and we asked, who is your favorite women's hockey player? And a lot of these girls didn't know. They couldn't name a single women's hockey player. And we had a couple, like Hillary Knights, but
yeah.
I just think, like, one, women's hockey obviously needs more funding, but two, like, just people need to invest, like, interest in it as well. So, I mean, I think it's growing now, but just to continue that is going to be important.
I honestly think the best way to grow it right now is with the college level, just because the pro game seems to be sort of, like, kind of craziness right now. So I feel like the best way to grow is with the college game. And I just feel like they're not creative enough. Like, why don't you try to put the Frozen Four maybe in an AHL or NHL rank? Or people who, like, want to go can go, and it's, like, easy to get to. Why don't you try to do different non-conference games as well? Why don't you just try different things, promote it? Because I feel like women's college basketball did that a little bit last year, and you saw, like, how many people actually watched that national championship game, and, like, people know who, like, Caitlin Clark is, and she's not even a pro basketball player. And I feel like if you do that with college hockey, then I think that would generate more interest with the sport, but then it will also translate to the pro game and help that grow as well. So that's sort of what I feel like needs to be done, is sort of getting top-end college hockey players and women's to sort of be more recognized outside of just people who watch the sport.
Yeah, I love that. I think you've got the right idea.
Now, do you have any shout-outs you want to give to any of your family members, friends, teammates, and who should we have on the podcast next?
Shout-outs? I don't really have any shout-outs, but I was thinking we need to get my friend Megan McKay on the podcast. She plays at Mercyhurst, and she's a very interesting girl. We got to get awesome. Her on here.
I'll definitely reach out and see what happens. But, Zoe, I just want to say thanks so much for coming on the pod. I really appreciate your time. It means so much to myself. I think you're a great player, but an even better person, so I just want to let you know that. And I can't wait to see you play next season with Adrian and hopefully win a D3 national championship. I think you're definitely capable of that. So, but I appreciate your time, and it was a pleasure getting the chance to talk and meet with you today.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and have a great rest of your day. Also, you got to give the Midwest a chance.
I know, I'm an East Coast guy, it's hard, but I would say maybe the same thing to you. Maybe try to give the East Coast a chance when you're out here. Try Dunkin' Donuts a little bit and just enjoy the vibe a little bit, because I feel like you would like it a lot.
I will for sure. Well, thank you. One step forward and another back. I would never try to fool you. I'm one heartbeat away from going mad. Girl, when you look like that. Close, eye, close.
get closer to you. Yeah, got me back.